everybody. So I'm going to do this just a little bit different than Pastor Sean this morning, only because there's a couple things that are a little different this morning. So I'm just going to have the announcements here at the beginning of the service, and that way I can kind of explain a little bit of what's going to go on here. So Pastor Sean is again away today, so if you're hoping to see him today, you're going to be partially disappointed. And the reason you're going to be partially disappointed is because he is actually going to give us our sermon this morning. And that's the different thing that I wanted to talk about before we started. He's going to give the sermon this morning right up here on the wall. So he has recorded a sermon ahead of time on video. And so we'll go ahead and do the service just like we normally would through the gospel. And then he's going to come up here and on the wall this time, and he's going to give us our message for the day. So it's my hope that he has some very nice, inspiring words for us, for our life together, and for our week coming ahead, and that we can be inspired by his words. So I want to just lift up a couple more things in our announcements before we start. He is out of the office until this coming Tuesday. He will be back on Tuesday, so if there is any emergencies, before that point, just like you did last week, you're encouraged to contact Dennis Long, and he'll get you in touch with Ed Hunker, who is covering those emergencies. And then once Tuesday gets here, then Pastor Sean will be back, and you can feel free to see him when he would normally be here. So with that being said, the Bible study at St. Paul will resume. I can't talk all of a sudden. The Bible study will resume on Wednesday at 3 over at St. Paul as it normally would. A couple other things I want to lift up here. It looks like the prayer shawl outreach is going to meet this coming Tuesday, the 6th, and that'll be over at Mill Creek Assisted Living, and that'll be at 3:15. So if there's anybody that's interested in that, feel free to come out for that. Also, I wanted to lift up that out on the table in the gathering area is the sign-up sheet for the community meal. It'll be happening a week from this coming Wednesday, which is August 14th, and we were just assessing this before the service, and there are plenty of places to sign up. It looks like there's a need for plenty of different things. So if you feel so inspired and would like to help out with that, that would be greatly appreciated. And if nothing else, just your time helping out with that, they can always use a few extra helping hands. So I just wanted to lift that up here this morning so that everyone was aware of that. Are there any other announcements before we begin this morning? We haven't started yet. We haven't started yet. Well, with that, hearing no other announcements, I invite you to rise. This is the day that the Lord has acted.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
God acted by raining bread from heaven. God acted by blowing quail into their camp. The God of Israel is our God.
Let us give thanks to the living God of Israel for God's mercy.
And as always, it is good for us to be here. We begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, or deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. You have not loved you,
who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with the power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, eternal goodness, immeasurable love, you place your gifts before us. We eat and are satisfied. Fill us and this world and all its need with the life that comes only from you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is from Exodus, the 16th chapter. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died in the land, died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then the Lord said to Moses, I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they follow my instruction or not. Then Moses said to Aaron, say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining. And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, it is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 78 responsively with me. Yet he commanded the skies above and opened the doors of heaven.
He rained down on them in man's heat and gave them the bread of heaven.
Mortals ate of the bread of angels. He sent them food in abundance.
He caused the east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power he let out the south wind.
He rained flesh upon them like dust, winged birds like the sand of the seas.
He let them fall within their hand, all around their dwellings.
And they ate and they were filled, for he gave them what they craved. The second reading is from Ephesians, the fourth chapter. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it said he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is what comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to Christ.
You may sit.
In which I stand, that we know as New Mexico, in the high desert. Grace and peace to you from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Creator, the Creator of this place, the place in which I stand, that we know as New Mexico, in the high desert. And grace and peace to you from our Savior, Jesus Christ. So, God is good. I mean, like I already showed you, look at the landscape. This is, as I said, New Mexico's high desert. There are hills and rocks and mesas behind me. And if I go this way and this way, and I want to show you all of that, there would be more and more and more. And even though I got up early today to record in the early morning, the sun didn't quite cooperate. But when the sun does cooperate, these hills are reds and oranges and yellows, and even though normally dull browns, they are made all that more brilliant and magnificent in the morning. A picture truly painted by God. Clear and irrefutable evidence of our God's good creation. God is good, right? I mean, all the time, right? Except when I woke up this morning, this is what I woke up to. But what if not everyone's experience waking up this morning was this? I mean, I'm pretty sure it wasn't. Maybe this morning in that chronic pain. That pain that doesn't allow you to do most of the things that you used to do that really made this life worth living. Maybe your age has gotten to be such that it is hard for you to do those things that you used to love to do. But God is good, right? Maybe you're retired, but you're not really retired because you spend half of your time caring for others, more than half of that time, caring for loved ones that just need you to care for them. And speaking of loved ones and friends, maybe you woke up this morning in a strained, broken relationship. Your heart, it just hurts. But it's okay because God is good. Maybe you woke up this morning, but you'd rather be sleeping. And that's something I usually experience. But not just because sleep is awesome, would you rather be sleeping. You'd rather be sleeping because this is the only way that you can cope with your anxiety or your depression. But God is good all the time. Right? Or maybe you got that surgery, the really painful one, the one that you were really afraid of. The one that was going to fix everything for you. Except it didn't, and you're still having those same problems as before the surgery, but God is good all the time. Or you woke up wondering how you're gonna pay your rent or your mortgage and have enough left over for food and all the other things. God is good all the time. You woke up keeping vigil at the bedside of a loved one who probably won't ever leave that hospital bed, but God is good all the time. You woke up and yesterday was the day you buried your loved one. No final goodbye, just death, sorrow. But God is good all the time. Is it that God's goodness is conditional to our condition, to what is going on with us right now? A former pastor of mine would make the congregation stand up for a call and response when he thought we looked a little bit too sleepy during a worship service. He would make us stand and he would shout, "God is good!" And we would respond, "All the time." For Lutherans, and then he would reverse it, and he would say, "All the time," and we would be like, "God is good." And then he would make us do it 3 or 4 more times until we actually said, "God is good all the time, God is good." True. This was the mealtime prayer of my childhood, and it still is. Here's how it begins. God is great. God is good. Not only is God good, God is great. I often proclaim God's goodness as my go-to address to open in prayer. Good and gracious God. Not only is God good, God is gracious, I will say. But when we say God is good, God is great, God is gracious, do we mean it? Do I mean it? God is good all the time. Right? Is this a meaningful proclamation or is it a rote prayer in response from a heart that doubts God's all the time goodness? I have to wonder about this for myself because so is here in this place this week and throughout one of the sessions, it came to me. I don't think ever, not once in my 3 years of preaching now, have I uttered the phrase in a sermon until right now today. God is good. That isn't to say that I don't preach God's goodness. I often do. But not even once to say God is good. pretty simple thing. To not say at once, it's a bit concerning. No? I found it concerning this week. And if that weren't bad enough, I will at times, oftentimes even, preach sermons that express my displeasure, I will say, at God. I mean, only a month ago I accused God, the creator of this, and also God the Son for terrible pastoral care in one single sermon. Jesus for rebuking the terrified disciples on the Sea of Galilee, and God for sidestepping Job's very valid. And I usually keep the sermon titles for myself, for my own amusement. I titled this one, Angry at God. I saw my brother Ryan a few weeks later, and he commented, and I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said, that sermon was a little harsh, you know, maybe a step too far. But my anger at God, when I talked to him, when I defended my sermon, was resolute. I think God is big enough to handle my anger, I told him. Angry at God. This is how we encounter the Israelites as they're wandering the desert, freed from Pharaoh, but starving. Angry at God. And normally I would be like, really, Israelites? God just liberated you, just set you free, no longer subject to the hard-hearted, heavy-handed Pharaoh. God set you free from that Pharaoh. But from this place, from the New Mexico desert, as beautiful as it is, this place is truly a wonder to behold. But it is also a place where the temperatures have soared to the mid-90s each day. We were warned to hike with at least 2 liters of water. I've carried this thing with me all week. Don't hike alone, they've told us. Why? Because it's pretty easy to die out here due to lack of water and heat exhaustion, let alone the rattlesnakes they warned us about. The complaint, as I stand in this place, and I feel the heat, and I imagine myself wandering in this place, aimlessly, no food, little food. The complaints brought to Moses and Aaron against God seem pretty reasonable. You have brought us out here to this place with no food to kill us, to starve us to death. Wouldn't we have been better off in Egypt, where we at least had food? Thanks for saving us, God. You saved us from Pharaoh. That was good. Then you let us out here into this wilderness, into this space, without food to die. That's not good, God. The Israelites are experiencing, in their moment of suffering, God's goodness as conditional to their condition. As if we're going to die, so God is no longer a good God. So we have to ask, is God's goodness steadfast? Or is it conditional to our condition? And I have to say, I think we often experience God's goodness as conditional. When we see or experience pain and suffering and sickness and hatred and war and fighting and murder and famine and death and depression and crippling anxiety in this world and in our lives, which happens every day, we ask, we demand even, God, account for all of this. If you were good, God, why would you let all of this happen? God is good? Because it depends on our condition. When we are wandering in the desert wilderness of our lives, When everything is going wrong, we are hungry and thirsty and tired and we just need a break, when we need something or anything to go our way, and 10 more things go against us. And then, oh, by the way, we turn on the news and it seems as if the world around us is crumbling, and in some places it is. It is easy and understandable even to forget about all the times that we have heard about and seen and experienced God's abundant, overwhelming, steadfast goodness. Like the Israelites, you know that time that the mighty breath of God piled up the waters of the Red Sea and we walked through it on dry land, like as dry as this. I mean, but that must have just been a one-off act of goodness and salvation, right? Because this same unchanging and steadfast God certainly cannot and will not provide for us as we wander in the desert again, hungry and terrified, in need of our daily bread. What is our Red Sea? What is our desert wandering? Real God, again. God does, and God will. And we know this because God shows over and over and over again God's goodness, all the way back to this Exodus narrative. The Israelites are in the desert. Why are they in the desert? Because the God who is good, who heard their groaning and when they were in the land of Egypt as Pharaoh's slaves, and acted to save them. And now the God who is good hears their complaints from the desert. You sent us here to starve. And God acted to save them. Bread. This steadfast God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the same steadfast God that we worship today. This God has heard the cries of God's people throughout all of history and has acted to save in the past. Hears our groanings and our cries and complaints right now, today, and acts to save now and today. And this same God, this unchanging, good, and gracious God, will hear and act to save. Because God is good, even when it isn't our present experience. Let me say that again, because I fumbled it a little bit, and it's really important. God is good, even when this isn't our present experience. And I'd be lying to you. I would be lying to you, and we would be lying to ourselves if we claimed that belonging to a good and gracious God prevents suffering, because we know it. Doesn't. And nowhere in Scripture does God promise that we will not suffer. In fact, the letter of to the Ephesians, a portion of which we heard today, is a prison letter, as in Paul wrote it from prison, while suffering, while being persecuted. We will experience suffering and rejection and pain and persecution and hatred. We will experience lost and betrayed relationships and friendships, illnesses, our own, and those of loved ones. We will be lost and searching and wandering, and we will encounter death. Ultimately, we will, more than seems fair and right and just, find ourselves wandering in the desert just like this. No food, no water, out in the wilderness, crying out to God, lamenting to God, angry with God. Where are you, God? Answer me, God. Show up, God. No answer? Fine, God. You know what, God? I'm just going to go back to Egypt. I'm going to go back to that place where at least I had food. Hidden in that bitter complaint of ours, accidental proclamation of God's goodness. I'm going to go back to Egypt, as in the Egypt that God freed us from, the slave master, the oppressor that God freed us from. The Israelites couldn't go back to the oppressor. We could not go back to our oppressor unless a God who is good has freed us from that oppressor in the first place. We cannot choose to go back to the oppressor unless the God who is good has freed us in the first place. This God, the God that acted to free the Israelites, to give them daily bread during their wanderings, this same God has acted in our lives, continues to act in our lives, will never stop acting in our lives, will never stop saving us. Perhaps especially when we cry out in anger and threaten to hightail it back to Egypt. Because God is good. God's goodness, God's love, it is steadfast, and it has no condition. Angry with God, unable to proclaim God's all the time goodness. If we learned anything from the cries of the Israelites, which certainly did not sound like my mealtime prayer, God is great, God is good, please give us our daily bread. If we learned anything from the Israelites, it is that our God is so good that even when we are angry and frustrated and unable to say God is good, this God, our God, the same God who brought Israel out of the land of Egypt and sustained them as they wandered in the desert, the same God who delivers us from the oppressor, liberates us, frees us, and then sustains us as we are lost in pain, when we are suffering, this God sees us, hears us, and acts to save us now and forevermore, when even when we cannot, even when we refuse to utter the words, God is good. Even when we cannot and will not say these words, our God still acts and saves. That is a good God. This is exactly how good our God is all the time. All the time. Our God is good. Thanks be to our gracious, great, good God. Amen.
Would you please join me in giving a warm Faith and Freedom welcome
Thank you.
I ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, of the Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Before we begin the prayers, do we have any other prayer requests that would like to be offered up at this point?
Peggy.
Peggy? Yep, okay. Any other ones?
A safe trip back for Sean.
A safe trip back for Pastor Sean, yes. And bear with me, I write slow. Never quite learned that whole shorthand thing. All right, anything else? With the communion of saints and the power of the Holy Spirit, we join our voices in prayer.
God of generations, you work in us far more than we can ask or even imagine. Bless the church you have called into being across time and space, and fill it with the power of the Spirit for loving service. Today, we especially ask you to bless the life and ministry of Trinity Lutheran Church as the former congregations of St. John's and Peace join them in worship together for the first time as a merged congregation. We continue to pray for the unity of the churches of the former Crawford County Lutheran Partnership and for openness to the movement of the Holy Spirit, that we may together bear witness to Jesus as one body of Christ. In your mercy,
hear our prayer. God of field, garden, and orchard, you feed us with your very self, the bread of life. We thank you for the rains that we've received this week that are giving our fields and our gardens and our crops the nourishment of water that they need. We ask you to provide additional sun and rain to nourish all that you have given us to grow and tend, that the coming harvest may be bountiful and give food to every person in due season. In your mercy.
God, beyond borders, you rule all in all. Shield those who live, work, or serve in harm's way, including military, first responders, fire, and police, that they serve our communities and world justly. We continue to pray for an end to war and conflict across the Middle East, Ukraine, and Russia. Guide and bless the work of humanitarian and aid workers and those who work to bring peace to these and all warring lands. In your mercy,
hear our prayer. God of healing, you open wide your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. We remember any who are sick or suffering, especially Nathan, Stephanie, Tina, Kathy, Barb, Jane, Dwayne, Ken, Robert, Tony, Ed, Pastor Tim, Peggy, Bobby, Nancy, Caleb, Jim, Karen, Bill, Linda, Wilma, and for all those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. We also add Peggy, as asked this morning. And we also ask for a safe trip back for Pastor Sean. And we hope that his time away has been a time of rest and relaxation, and that you will give him the strength to move forward in the work of our church. As the political turmoil of this season sows anxiety, we ask that you instead sow words of hope that offer the peace that only you can provide and heal the divisions that scar this nation. In your mercy.
God of grace, you root us and ground us in love. As you inspired our ancestors in this place, in their ministry, sustain us also in new endeavors, that we may witness to your glory in our missions, our ministries, and personal lives, that the people of Galleon may experience your loving kindness shared anew through us. In your mercy.
In our prayer.
Holy God, holy and merciful, into your outstretched arms we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
But also with you.
Let us share a sign of God's peace.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts towards those who hunger in any way, that all may know the care of your Son, Jesus Christ, the bread of life who sustains us, in whose name we pray. Amen.
We're going to ask that you respond with the following. We give you thanks and praise. Praise and thanks to you, Holy God, for by your word you made all things. You spoke light into darkness, called forth beauty from chaos, and brought life into being. For your word of life, O God,
we give you thanks.
By your word, you called your people Israel to tell of your wonderful gifts, freedom from captivity, water on the desert journey, a pathway home from exile, wisdom for life with you, for your word of life, O God.
We give you thanks and praise. Through Jesus, your word made flesh, you speak to us and call us to witness forgiveness through the cross. Life to those entombed by death, the way of your self-giving love. For your word of life, O God,
Send your spirit of truth, O God. Rekindle your gifts within us. Renew our faith, increase our hope, and deepen our love for the sake of a world in need. Faithful to your word, O God, draw near to all who call on you for your word of life, O God.
Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And now receive a blessing. The blessing of God, who provides for us, feeds us, and journeys with us, be upon you now and forever. Amen. Let's sing. If you believe in Jesus, the one sent by God, you will receive the bread of God from heaven.